Hello again and welcome to Pick Yourself, the podcast that helps you build a meaningful electronic music career. If your goal is to create and release outstanding music on respected labels, get better bookings and grow a tribe of true fans instead of just social followers, then this show is for you. My name is Philip, thanks for tuning in, and now let's get right into today's episode. Welcome to episode 46 of Pick Yourself. I'm super happy to have you here with me again. Welcome to the show. If you're a first-time listener, make sure to subscribe to the show on your podcast app because we have a lot of great stuff coming up soon. And if you're a long-time listener, then thanks a lot for sticking with me. Thanks for being so loyal. It really means a lot. I appreciate it. And you have the power to shape the show. So I'm right now outlining the episodes for the next weeks. So if you have something, a topic or an idea or a question that you want me to talk about, then this is your chance to get basically direct response in podcast format. So hit me up. You can shoot me an email, philip@kopilko-productions.com, or you simply join our Facebook community. That is possible via pickyourselfpodcast.com/community. Just join this community and you can directly post questions and episode ideas and so on, and I will pick them up. I will also directly respond in that group, and a lot of great other members will join in as well. Now, once again, this show will always remain free. It's a resource that you can go back to whenever you want, and you can take all the knowledge with you completely for free. The only thing that I'm asking for is for you to contribute. So this needs to be a two-way communication, because I want to create content that is completely 100% tailor-made for you. It helps you cope with real struggles that you're facing. It helps you deal with situations that you're facing in your artist career. So definitely take your time and write me an email or leave a comment, because this really helps me provide the best experience for you. Now, before we jump into this week's topic, let me quickly point you to a resource that goes with this podcast. It's called The 7 Strategies of Highly Successful Electronic Music Artists. You can get it at pickyourselfpodcast.com/free. And that is a free guide, takes you like 5 minutes to read, which is providing massive value because these strategies are coming from people that I've worked with, people that I have close contact with, people that are super successful in their respective artist careers, and there is a reason for that. They have done things differently than most other artists. Now, in this guide, I'm giving you the 7 strategies that have proven to be most effective, and you can simply implement these learnings one by one and then see the difference on your own artist career outcome. All right, now let's talk about this week's episode topic, and that is the best music marketing strategies. Now, I must admit it's super hard to find music marketing strategies online that actually work, because most blogs, most podcasts about this topic focus on shallow tactics and hacks, ignoring the bigger picture. But that's not enough if your goal is to build a successful and a meaningful artist career in the long run. This is why I personally believe that strategies make a big difference, but tactics don't. And so my goal with this episode was to provide you 3 strategies that actually make a difference in the long run and that I truly believe in. So yeah, let's dive right in. So first of all, let's talk about the difference between strategies and tactics and why this matters. Now, the reason why 99% of upcoming artists focus on tactics and hacks rather than music marketing strategies is quite simple. Designing and executing a strategy is so much harder than copy-pasting the latest social media hack. So in terms of brain power and workload that's necessary, this is a night and day difference. Implementing a little social media hack or a little tactic, whatever it is, takes you sometimes only a couple of minutes, maybe a couple of hours, or maybe a day. But designing and executing a strategy is really, really hard and time-consuming. And I think that's pretty cool, actually, because if most people focus on tactics, then it's easier for you to stand out if you are the person that actually has the guts and the work ethic to implement a whole strategy that will make a difference in the long run. But okay, let's look at the difference between a music marketing strategy and a tactic. I found a great definition that clearly separates the two terms. It's not only focusing on the music business, of course. So I found this on a website called clearpointstrategy.com, and I'm going to read this for you. Strategy defines your long-term goals and how you're planning to achieve them. In other words, Your strategy gives you the path you need toward achieving your mission. Tactics are much more concrete and are often oriented toward smaller steps and shorter time frame along the way. They involve best practices, specific plans, resources, etc. So that was the definition and the separation between the two, but here is my problem with tactics. Tactics are sexy. They come with a flashy clickbait headline, like for example, how to gain 1,000 new Instagram followers every day, or the 5 music marketing hacks nobody talks about but are highly effective. Yeah. So don't you instantly want to read something like that? Of course, this is like the stuff that's popping up again and again in your newsfeed. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with picking a catchy headline, but the problem is when you're being pulled in into such an article or a video or a podcast episode, and the information you get is so shallow and so tactics focused that it just doesn't make a difference at all, then this creates a problem because you think you stumble upon a solution, but actually that's not the solution to the problem that you're facing in reality in your artist career. So you might think that gaining more Instagram followers is the solution to the problem that you have, which is the lack of exposure in general. You don't have a big audience. Yeah, of course, it would be nice to have more Instagram followers. But in a way, this tactic, this little hack of gaining more Instagram followers, gives you a solution to a problem that is not your real problem. Yeah, because gaining more Instagram followers doesn't solve anything. Because your real problem is you don't have an audience of 1,000 true fans. It doesn't really matter how many Instagram followers you have or don't have. And I have made episodes on this as well, on Instagram and its importance or non-importance in the music industry, but also on the 1,000 true fans theory. So go back to these episodes if you haven't listened to them already. But yeah, this is the problem with tactics. They provide a solution for a problem that is not your real problem. It is usually an article that's easy to consume. It's usually a little hack or a tactic that is easy to implement, and it creates a fake solution to a non-existent problem. And so in a way, these tactics, all they do is distract you from what you should actually work on. They might sound like a great shortcut to success, but all they really do is steal your valuable time that you could invest otherwise. Now, here's the advantage of strategies. Strategies aren't sexy at all, which is the problem, but they don't try to sell you quick and easy results. They're hard to design and they're hard to execute. But they work, and that is what makes them so much more valuable than tactics. So don't get me wrong, you will also need to work on tactics, but they should derive from an overarching music marketing strategy. And interestingly, this is what a lot of people get wrong when they talk about music marketing in general. They think that music marketing is just a collection of manipulative little tactics that try to, yeah, basically screw people over and trick them into, yeah, checking you out or listening to your stuff and hopefully then sticking with you. But that is completely wrong. A great music marketing strategy pulls people in organically because you have provided something that is unique, something that is of value, that provides especially an emotional connection. And music marketing always comes from the product, so the music itself, and it's simply a way of amplifying great work. That's exactly what it does. So let me now show you 3 music marketing strategies that I believe will work in this year and also in the following years because they're in a way timeless. Okay, strategy number 1, be a big fish in a small pond. So in essence, this first strategy is about carving out your own sonic niche. And to understand what be a big fish in a small pond means, let's reverse engineer what a small fish in a big pond means. Yeah. So it's the exact opposite. If you try to become one of the top 10 artists who produce big room peak time techno, for example, you are facing a hell lot of competition. How will you manage to stand out? How sustainable is that genre? And what happens if it goes out of fashion in the next years? So if you're starting out and you want to make it in that huge pond with a lot of big angry sharks in there, your chances of making it to somewhere are really, really slim. And so the idea here is to do the exact opposite, to not be a small fish in a big pond, but to be a big fish in a small pond. And so let me give you an example here. How many music producers do you know who produce avant-garde electronica with the assistance of a self-designed artificial intelligence? Okay, I know exactly one artist, and that is Holly Herndon. So she owns that niche, even if I'm sure that she isn't alone there anymore. But she was the person that kind of populated that idea and that concept, that artistic concept. And this is fantastic marketing, because if you own such a niche, then people will automatically identify that whole subgenre or niche with you. And that is fantastic. That is so clever. And so that will automatically lead to more media coverage for you, more attention in social channels, yeah, because that's also something super interesting to talk about. And so in essence, that means you will get a lot of organic traffic. People organically finding you in one way or another because you are doing something interesting and you own a certain sub-niche in your genre. Now, of course, the example of Holly Herndon was really extreme and I used it to illustrate my point. But even if that's a little bit too experimental for you or too like left field or avant-garde, just look at something a little bit more concrete. Look at, for example, Kamikaze Space Program, Chris Jarman, who's a super amazing producer that I interviewed in one of the podcast episodes. So he's a guy that plays clubs like Burkhan and Trezor regularly, but at the same time, he owns his little niche of glitchy but slamming techno. He has a very specific feel to his tracks. He has a very specific way of making them, of using his own field recordings, of mashing things up in a certain way. And even if it's not as extreme avant-garde or, yeah, crazy as, for example, Holly Herndon with her own AI-aided composition, it still is a certain way of playing, a certain way of producing music that he's known for. And so you see, there are many advantages to being a big fish in a small pond, and let me give you a couple of questions that help you identify your sonic niche. And by the way, if you want to do this as a writing exercise, you can go to pickyourselfpodcast.com, look for the blog post on this episode, and then look up these questions and go through them one by one. So the first one is, what comes natural to you in terms of composition and music production? Next, what is something in your sound that you don't hear that much in other people's music? How can you take your unique qualities one step further and go where no one else dares to go? What are aspects of other genres that you could introduce into your genre of music? Can you merge two styles of music production in your genre and create something that hasn't been done in this way yet? Okay, so the bottom line of this is you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you definitely want to aim for redesigning it. Your only chance to grow a fanbase of 1,000 true fans is to offer something that they don't find anywhere else. They are not looking for a copy of their favorite artist, and they are not looking for a copy of your favorite artist. Okay, so try to carve out your own sonic identity and try to be a big fish in a small pond. Okay, let's come to strategy number two. When everybody zigs, zag. Okay, what does that mean? This music marketing strategy focuses on differentiating yourself from the current mainstream of your genre. And the easiest way to stand out is to do the exact opposite of what everyone else is doing. And this is coming from a book that is super interesting by Martin Neumeier called Zag. Yeah, I've linked to that book in the show notes for this episode. What's important here is to not only do something different for the sake of doing something different. Yeah, this is really important. It has to be natural. So think about this strategically and ask yourself the following questions. What is something that everyone else in your genre is doing, but somehow it doesn't resonate with you at all? How could you offer an interesting alternative to that? And thirdly, what are some things that you already do differently but haven't highlighted yet in your music or in your branding? So let me give you some examples. When techno is getting faster and faster, you could take the opposite direction and create something slower, but still heavy. When house music is mainly based on the same type of stock vocals that are used in samples, then start collaborating with talented singers in your area and record your own little library. And when every electronica artist tries to copy Bonobo, for example, go for different instrumentation and use less common harmonies than they do. So it's relatively easy to stand out by just doing the opposite of what everyone else is doing in your genre right now. Now, the tricky thing is, it will feel wrong in the beginning because you're essentially the only person going into the different direction. But that's the thing here. People are interested in seeing these alternatives. People are curious about why that producer is doing something differently. So you have, first of all, the advantage of standing out. And then secondly, when the big shift happens, and this happens all the time, when everything gets faster and faster, it will go into the other direction as well. When this swing happens and it goes into the other direction, you are already there and everybody else is running after you. And I find that quite interesting. And it also works on the branding side of things. So if everyone is giving themselves super mysterious and dark artist names and profiles, they are not making direct photographs of their faces, you could do the exact opposite and being very open and very friendly and show your face. All the other way around, yeah. If everyone is super personal and super approachable, you could go into the other direction and be super secretive and, yeah, not showing anything. But as I've said, it's important to stay natural. So if you are super approachable and open as a person, you cannot really authentically display an image that is super secretive and dark and whatever, yeah. So try to find something that lets you stand out from the pack, but at the same time feels natural to you. Okay, let's come to the third and final music marketing strategy, and that is become a visionary thought leader in your space. Okay, that sounds big, right? Now, this strategy is a tough one for sure, but it's also highly effective, I believe. Becoming a visionary thought leader in your space means you have to have the guts to develop your idea of where the genre is heading, and you have to actively promote it. So you can't do this half-heartedly. You have to go all in. And the reason why this is so effective is that it can turn into a shared vision that others start to believe in as well. And this is, in essence, why Seth Godin's Tribes concept makes so much sense in the sphere of music. And by the way, I've made a whole episode just on that Tribes concept, so go back to that if you don't know what I mean with this. So what do you have to do to become a visionary thought leader? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. First of all, you have to develop a unique perspective on the future of your genre, or at least a certain aspect of it. Then don't rush it. Yeah. So use pen and paper or at least a digital document to formulate your ideas, first of all, and develop a clear vision. And then speak about your ideas with others in your genre and just see what their reaction is. If they at first refuse it, but then start to show interest and kind of get it, you're on the right track, I believe. And then slowly start promoting your ideas publicly. First of all, use your existing audience on social media and so on and your email list. And then move on to use interviews and podcasts as platforms to promote your vision as well. And be ready to deal with criticism and with haters because your ideas might sound crazy to some people. And make sure you're promoting a positive vision. So extreme negativity might bring some extra attention in the beginning, but nobody enjoys following a grumpy person that constantly complains about things in their genre. So try to develop something that people look up to, that people want to be a part of. Yeah, and with negativity, that's just not the case. Okay, so as you can imagine, this is one of the hardest strategies that you can use, but I think it's super effective. And if you're the type of person that has this visionary ability to think about the future of your genre and you are willing to actively work towards it, then I think it's super powerful. You can really pull people in and let them be part of your mission. So how does this look like in the real world? Let me give you an example. I have personally decided to go in this direction myself. So even if I'm earning a full-time living as a mixing and mastering engineer, I believe that the age of sound engineers is over, and I actively promote that idea. I believe that's a good thing. I think that is something positive because we're moving into a new age of mentors where more experienced music producers and engineers are just sharing their knowledge and their services with the ones who aren't there yet. Yeah, but definitely also have the ability to go there. And the whole business model is shifting, in my opinion, yeah, which is also why I'm not offering only mixing and mastering services. I'm also offering one-on-one coaching, and I share everything I know with you. Yeah. And this podcast, for example, is also a way of unlocking the gates, yeah, removing gatekeepers from the process and sharing as much information as possible because I want to see artists grow on their own. And this vision might sound crazy and even offending to some old school engineers. Yeah, so I definitely also get a lot of shit and hate for that. But, and even some young cats who think that they are the new hotshots that artists look up to and so on. To me, that's completely silly, and I support the empowerment of artists 100%. And this is important to me. Yeah. So I don't care that much about people who hate this idea or who are scared of the future. I actively promote this idea because I think it's the right thing to do. All right. So that was my third and final music marketing strategy. Now let's come to a conclusion here. Whatever strategy you choose, commit to it long term. So you now have everything you need to get started. The thing is, these strategies are pretty design heavy. Yeah, so you have to do a lot of work up front to think like, how can this pan out for you? You have to choose the one that naturally resonates with you, but then you also need to break it down into action steps, into smaller chunks that you can actually implement. And what I believe is important here is don't expect a fast return on investment of your time and energy. So contrary to tactics, these strategies are designed to work in the long run, which means you will not see immediate benefits. And for a lot of people, that's a problem. So they start implementing it, they don't see results immediately, and then they give up. But that's exactly the thing that you should not do. You should be completely aware that this will pay off a year from now, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. But if you hold on to these strategies, I'm convinced that it will make a massive difference on the outcome of your artist career. Okay, so let's put this into action now. How should you get started with these music marketing strategies? So here are my three action steps for you. The first one is analyze your current strategy and positioning. So do you already follow a music marketing strategy? And if so, what characterizes it? How are you positioned in your genre? Is there something that lets you stand out from the rest? What are some weak spots in your branding and in your positioning? So just collect a list of bullet points for this and see what your opportunities are in this current position that you are in. Action step number two, decide which of these music marketing strategies feels the most natural to you. So just commit to at least one of these strategies that we've talked about in this episode and choose the one that resonates with you naturally, because this can only work if you really stand behind it. And be ready to play the long-term game here, because there's just no way you will see quick wins. Action step number three, start implementing the strategy by breaking down the next steps you need to take right now. So it's easy to feel overwhelmed with such a big strategy. So start breaking it down into sub-tactics and action steps, because then these tactics derive from the overarching strategy. And you start with the first small steps and then you build up momentum to move in the right direction. Okay. That's it for this week's episode. Now, I would love to hear from you. Which of these strategies do you think works best and why? You can leave a comment. Just go to pickyourselfpodcast.com and look for this episode's blog post. Leave a comment below there, or you simply hit me up with an email, philip@copilco-productions.com. But you can also just join our Facebook community, because we have a dedicated discussion thread for every single episode, and I would love to see you there. Go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/community. Last but not least, if you want to move your artist career in the right direction, just go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/free and download the 7 strategies of highly successful electronic music artists. I really believe that this resource makes a difference, and I highly recommend getting it. Just go to pickyourselfpodcast.com/free. It will help you massively. And if you have further questions, just hit me up. I'm happy to help. Best wishes, bye-bye, and see you next week. If you don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And you can find detailed blog posts for every single episode on pickyourselfpodcast.com. Until then, see you next time.